You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Just look at that face. Is that a face? The one on the left. Kim, is that a face of a high priestess of the deep state? We have been researching Kim's past. And we have found out. You're not going to believe this. She helped Dick Cheney evacuate on September 11th. Yes. Can we put the quote up, please, Ron? I'm going to read you this. We'll get back to the face in a minute. We're going to read you a tweet. Here it is, from Kate Hampstead. So, Cheetle was involved in the evacuation of Vice President Dick Cheney on September the 11th, 2001, and went on to serve as Vice President Biden's blah, 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 appointed SS director amid a swirl of controversy. Kim Cheetle has been associated with Dick Cheney for a long, long time. Can you imagine the rewards? I helped Cheney evacuate on September 11th. They flew me to the island, Jeffrey's Island, to drink the Adreno Kool-Aid. This is my job. Let's go back up to the face, the thumbnail. Look at the pure lines of evil on that face. Can you imagine what she is privy to? The information. She is like a cog, a small cog in the machinery of the deep state. And the deep state brings her out periodically to stonewall and take the fall. That is her role in life. She's gone back now into the bowels of the deep state, where she's probably participating in minor decisions, taking orders from the big players, knowing where the bodies are buried. She's probably expendable. She knows way too much. She has to play along. She's compromised. And that's why she was brought in to take the fall. Because when they put together this operation to assassinate Donald Trump, every single outcome was explored, including Donald Trump surviving. And she knew her role was to step up right away. They would wheel her in and she would take the wrath. And that would be the end of the matter, because don't you see now how in the mainstream media now it is case closed?
There were lapses in the SS. There was incompetence in the SS. Kim was the head of the SS. Right down to the lightning bolt tattoos, no doubt. And Plan B comes into operation. Kim gets on the panel, gets grilled. Mainstream media knocker, politicians knocker, case closed. But go back. We have learned that this high priestess helped Dick Cheney evacuate on September 11th. That plan was probably already drawn up before the planes hit the Twin Towers. And then she was rewarded with the Adreno Kool-Aid on Jeffrey's Island and disappeared into the bowels of the deep state. Little cog Kim keeps everything ticking over nicely when these plans go awry. All right. We have got a CBS clip, which is courtesy of Tim Dillon's channel. And we're going to play that now. The Tim Dillon Show. Credit that, please.
Served on then Vice President Biden's protective detail. He named her director in mid-2022. Amid a swirl of controversy over the agency deleting nearly all of its text messages from January 6th. The agency says that was due to a data migration.
System migrations happen. But I think for a lot of Americans, it just doesn't pass the smell test, given the timing and the volume of messages deleted.
Well, it's unfortunate that that would be the assumption that people would make. Our integrity is everything. And there was nothing nefarious attached to that.
Their integrity has...
The integrity of the deep state is everything. It's just a glitch. System malfunctions happen. All of the messages that were shared by the FBI pertaining to January 6th, how there were FBI agent provocateurs were stalking the whole thing, just disappeared. Just like when we talked about the 9/11 insider trading, all of the data from the computers disappeared at warp speed in front of the eyes of people at brokerages. And they had no idea where it went to. Went to the bowels of the deep state. Cog. Kim, the little cog, keeping it all ticking over. So there you go. Kim helped the FBI cover up of Jan 6. Kim helped Cheney. Cheney, who made billions from Halliburton. Cheney. If you think the Bush crime family is powerful, well, Bush Jr. didn't have as much weight as Cheney. Cheney was pulling his strings. Do you remember the shooting incident? You watched the documentary about Cheney's heart? Adreno Kool-Aid runs ice cold through Cheney's heart. He made billions from the millions that died. Dropping bombs on the poorest countries in the world. Absolute evil. You're looking at the faces of absolute evil. These guys have no qualms about just lying in your face. No qualms about taking out Donald Trump for their vested interests. So, mostly disappeared out the news now because it is case closed. Last two stories, the last two stories today include FBI now wants to interview Trump about the assassination attempt. Isn't the FBI getting involved in this as relevant as the CIA investing itself for CIA alleged drug trafficking? And they said when they investigated themselves, that they'd done nothing wrong. There was no wrongdoing. And Gary Webb ended up with two in the head. Which was a suicide, they said, after he'd exposed it. Two shots to the head. Yes, the FBI investigating itself is as much use as the SS investigating Kim, the high priestess of the deep state, the cog. But anyway, the FBI, I've said today, they now want to question Donald Trump about his experience of nearly getting killed. And they've also acknowledged that it was a bullet. because they weren't acknowledging that it was a bullet. One U.S. official has said that the agency has yet to receive a victim statement from former President Trump. The FBI is still investigating the shooting and collecting evidence from the horrifying event they have always considered to be an attempted assassination. They are suppressing evidence, evidence that could have been maintained but was hosed from the roof of the crime scene of the shooter. The wheelchair accessible slope. The Bureau's director, Christopher Wray, sparked a firestorm this week when he testified to lawmakers on Capitol Hill that there were still some questions about whether the former president was struck with a bullet or shrapnel, and the subsequent statement sought to clarify that remark. The deep state trying to play down the missile that hit Trump's ear. Trump was quick to refute that he was hit by shrapnel, claiming he was struck by a bullet that hit my ear and it hit it hard. There was no glass. There was no shrapnel. The hospital called it a bullet wound to the ear, and that is what it was. No wonder the FBI has completely gone down in estimation by the world public and the confidence of Americans. Trump posted on his Truth Social. His campaign rallied against the notion that he was struck by shrapnel as opposed to a slug. Anyone who believes this conspiracy, beep, is either mentally deficient or willfully peddling falsehoods for political reasons, Trump campaign advisor Stephen Chung told CNN. During the hearing Wednesday with Wray, the director responded to questions about the assassination's bullet, saying, "My understanding is that either it or some shrapnel is what, you know, grazed his ear." Wray also testified that whatever it was that hit Trump came extremely close to killing the 45th president, but not close enough for Kimberly and the deep state. Other jaw-dropping revelations during congressional hearings included what the 20-year-old Crooks was up to immediately before he opened fire. Crooks searched online how far Lee Harvey Oswald was from JFK when he shot him. And we're going to revisit the Bush crime family's involvement in JFK's assassination. We are going to touch back on the Reagan assassination, Hinckley, and more about the Bush's relationship with them coming. FBI Director Christopher Wray said lawmakers were told the 20-year-old gunman flew a drone 200 yards from the stage just 2 hours before he opened fire in Butler, Pennsylvania, and had 3 explosives in his car. Yet, they denied drone coverage for Donald Trump. The security did. Crooks was prepared before he shot the president, including the online research he was doing. Crooks had been interested in public figures, and somewhere around July 6 or so, he became very focused on Trump and his rally because his MK Ultra handler, his wind-up merchant, put Trump in the crosshairs. The director said an analysis of Crook's laptop revealed he had searched on Google on July 6. How far was Oswald from Kennedy? It was the same day he registered to attend the Butler rally. So Lee Harvey Oswald shot and killed JFK in 1963. Crooks was flying a drone above the rally site 2 hours before the shooting and 200 yards away from the stage, Wray revealed. He flew the drone around 4 p.m. over the area of the rally, close to the 200 yards area he'd been Googling, 200 yards from the stage to survey the scene. Trump took the stage around 6:03 p.m., over 2 hours later. The FBI recovered three explosive devices in Crooks's possession. Alex Jones says there's a lot more, and it shows the conspiracy with people in the military and the intelligence for Crooks to be possessing these devices. The FBI has tried to play it down by saying they are relatively crude devices, but had the ability to be detonated remotely. Come on now. This kid can detonate explosives using remote devices, and he's got no help from the deep state. BS. Absolute crock. The FBI director said that the weapon used had a collapsible stock, which explained why it might have been less easy for people to observe. He could not say whether Crooks carried the gun up to the roof with him before he fired the shots, had stashed it there prior. They hadn't looked prior to see if there was anything up there. He said the gunman did not use a ladder to get onto the roof, but rather some sort of vertical piping. Crooks and his family owned a combined 14 guns, and Crooks had visited a shooting range one day before the rally. Crooks used an AR-style weapon that had been purchased legally by his father and sold him in October 2023. The FBI investigation into the attempt remains ongoing. Congress voted to put together a task force to investigate the shooting. Speaker Mike Johnson indicated that it would be a bipartisan effort split evenly with Republicans and Democrats. The Department of Homeland Security is also investigating the shooting. Yeah, there'll just be more cover-ups from all of those entities, because that's how this stuff works. So, we're going to go over to the Alabama Daily News, saying the FBI has confirmed that it was the bullet, and that was on top of the ambiguous comments early in the week from the director. Trump's been updating it himself. From Trump's former White House, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who now represents Texas in Congress. Jackson has been treating Trump since the night of the attack, but he's not Trump's primary care physician. Did you see the FBI today apologized? Trump said, it just never ends with these people. We accept their apology. Trump's appearance on Friday without the bandage on his ear. Photographs and videos showed no sign of continued bleeding and no distinct holes or gashes. Trump on social, Truth Social, said, I knew immediately something was wrong and that I heard a whizzing sound. Shots fired immediately. Felt the bullet ripping through the skin. So, yeah, there's the debate over the bullet and the nonsense with the FBI. All right, so we're going to go over to the bizarre connection between John Hinckley and the Bush family. So people are asking me, Sean, who do you think has performed this hit, attempted hit on Trump? And I say, just look at who performed the hit on JFK. Just look who performed the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan. And the response is, but they happened so long ago, Sean. Surely the people involved in those attempted assassinations and successful assassinations are now dead or retired or whatever. The CIA isn't dead or retired. It is larger than ever. The FBI isn't dead or retired. It is larger than ever. The SS is larger than ever. And the dynastic crime families, the dynastic banking families, the dynastic mid-level political families, the face of it that we see, that try and run rings around us with the media, the torch gets passed down. It doesn't just end. The whole purpose of the globalization for power and the continuation of the bloodlines is to pass the power and the blood and the DNA to the offspring and have them maintain that power through their enforcers, aka CIA, DEA, SS. So the names change over the years on the politicians. We get ass-grabbing Bush Senior. He dies off. Bush Junior. He maintains power in the family. Jeb maintains power in the family. It gets passed down to their kids. The Clintons, Obamas on the other side. It's like they probably have board meetings, these families, to decide the future of America. They get the orders from above, military-industrial complex, big oil, big pharma. Orders come down. You got the board meetings. Hillary Clinton, Obama. You've got Joe Biden, borderline senile. They were running for another 4 years. Political Crime Family Committee deciding how to maneuver and manipulate him to say and do what nefarious deeds they want, to bow down to their servants, the military-industrial complex, the bloodlines, the ancient banking families. It doesn't matter what political faces appear, they're just used and discarded. And the deep state knows when these guys come in, the public are rejoicing for them because they've done such a good PR job, or they just steal the election and the public are forced to have them and the PR job maintains and you're shown false audiences of thousands of people that aren't really there. It's AI now and we're supposed to accept these people. Once they put their agenda into place and the public start to wake up, or they've got to take the fall for something serious and then the public get rid of them, or they get assassinated because the public loved them, a new face is brought in to maintain the agenda of the invisible hand. So I talked about the assassination of Ronald Reagan last week. I just want to get into some of the more bizarre connections between the Hinckley family and the Bush family, because this is as blatant as if the Crooks family and the Biden family knew each other. The Crooks family, we know from the social media messages that Crooks was pro-Biden. They tried to flip it the other way when it all went down. But this social media platform has come out, and he sounds like he's scared to come out and say this kid was pro-Biden. Pro-Biden's border policy was trying to rationalize a lot of things. Can you imagine if the Crooks family were having dinners with the Biden family, and then this goes down? This is how crazy it was with the Hinckley family and the Bush crime family. So it was the afternoon of March 30th, 1981. John Hinckley Jr., a college dropout who had been kicked out of the American Nazi Party and had been aimlessly wandering the country for months, apart from checking in with his MK Ultra handlers, stuck his arm through the crowd of reporters outside the Washington Hilton Hotel in Washington, D.C., and pulled the trigger of a .22 caliber pistol, according to the New York Times and the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library and Museum. Meanwhile, 1,500 miles west in Denver, Colorado, Scott Hinckley, John's older brother, and the vice president of his family's Vanderbilt Energy Corporation, an independent oil and gas exploration firm, had plans to attend a dinner party later that day according to UPI. Put in the chat if you can guess who's going to be at this dinner party. He and a date were invited to the home of Neil Bush, who worked for the Amoco Oil Company, and who also happened to be the son of then Vice President George H.W. Bush under President Ronald Reagan. And there's an iconic photo of George H.W. Bush on the plane. Drooling. Because Reagan's been shot and he's about to become the president. He got it anyway later on, but he said it was his birthright. At that moment in Washington, D.C., Reagan was being shoved into the presidential limo and whisked away to hospital. Hinckley had fired 6 times, one bullet ricocheting off the limo, hit Reagan in the left armpit, collapsing his lung, causing profuse bleeding. The Secret Service drove him away. 3 other men were wounded on the sidewalk. The press secretary, James Brady, was shot in the head. Secret Service agent Tim McCarthy hit in the side. Tom Delahunty, D.C. police officer, wounded in the neck. Hinckley wrestled to the ground and arrested. Scott Hinckley had met Neil Bush earlier that year at a party and became friendly with the 4th child of Bush, according to the Gannett News Service. After news of the assassination attempt, Neil Bush cancelled the dinner, and then they rewrote history to kind of hide the family's relationship together. In the shooting's aftermath, the media swarmed the Bush family on their connections to the Hinckleys. But it all got brushed away. How insane would it be if it came out that the Crooks family and the Biden family have got some kind of linkage, or the Obama family or the Clinton family? How shocked would the world be? Look how blatant it was with the Bush-Hinckley connection. Now, Roger Stone, who's done research on this, if the only connection between the would-be assassin, John Hinckley Jr., and the Bush family turned out to be Scott Hinckley and Neil Bush told reporters he never recalled meeting John Hinckley. And then they basically rewrote history. Hinckley, unlike his older brother Scott, who graduated from Vanderbilt University before joining the family business, couldn't seem to achieve much in life, per the New York Times. He developed narcissistic personality disorder, became obsessed with the actress Jodie Foster, and believed shooting President Reagan would get her attention. So this is the official story. This is what these MK Ultra doctors put in the heads of the wind-up material, such as Hinckley, Saran Saran, the nut job who shot John Lennon. The list goes on. It wasn't an operation of the deep state. It was Hinckley shooting Reagan to win over the heart of actress Jodie Foster. What a brilliantly scripted line to get the public away from the Bush crime family involvement. Scott Hinckley tried to have his brother institutionalized weeks below the shooting. But Hinckley Sr. nixed the plan, believing it would cause his son more emotional scars. And then Hinckley was found not guilty by reason of insanity in 1982 and sent to a mental hospital, from which he was released in June 2022. Reagan and the other shooting victims recovered, but Brady suffered permanent brain damage. Yeah, I remember that. It was really sad seeing him. Roger Stone, Republican operative and ally of former President Trump, seized on the Bush-Hinckley connections to reveal this theory. And then the theory about the second shooter involved in the assassination attempt and that Bush was behind it. There are layers. There are layers. It's like, if you're John Gotti and Sammy the Bull Gravano is your underboss, and you give Sammy the Bull Gravano the wink, Sammy the Bull Gravano puts the plan in motion with the guys under him. These guys are insulated to the nth degree. Now, one of the theories this week is that there's a second shooter. There's also theories this week on Trump that there are multiple shooters. There have been many people analyzing the sounds of the shots. That's been done. And it's still open to interpretation. I was watching a channel last night, and he thinks that a lot of the theories are based on digital shadows and sound anomalies. He was the other side of the conspiracy theory spectrum. But I think it's just going to get weirder and more stuff's going to come out.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, are you guys aware of George H.W. Bush's weird behavior around the time of the JFK assassination? Put one in the chat if you are aware of this, or put a two in the chat if you're not, and you'd like me to go down this rabbit hole next. Because my point being, when I'm getting asked who I think is behind the Trump assassination, it's the deep state, and that's quite a big term, isn't it? Look at that picture of the ass grabber there. It's quite a big picture. There's so many complex forces involved. But when you piss off the military-industrial complex because you say you're going to stop the war in Ukraine, that's a huge part of it. You've got these demonic people who stay awake at night reveling on all the collateral damage, all the money they're going to make from bombing women and kids in the poorest countries of the world. How the billion... Dick Cheney, with the adrenal Kool-Aid pumping through his heart, I'm going to make billions at the taxpayers' expense. We're going to price the meals in the chow halls to the troops. If someone picks up a banana, we're going to bill the taxpayers $30 for a single banana. Every way it turns, we're going to make money off this. I'm going to go home and drink my adrenal Kool-Aid at night. Revel in the blood of innocent people. All right, so JFK assassination. It's the parallels of all three assassinations, I believe, should be scrutinized in terms of the context of the Trump attempt so we can understand the machinery at work. I mean, last week we went all the way back to the parallels with the Praetorian Guard in ancient Rome and how human nature is immutable. If we are this pyramid that David Icke talks about, and we've got the masses at the bottom who never find out anything, they're just completely disinformed until maybe years later they can get lucky. It's accelerated a bit now in the internet era. Then you got the bottom levels of the Freemasons that don't really know what's going on either. Then you've got the politicians. We could see them in the media. We could see all them. But then you got above them, the people at the top of the Freemasons who know fully what the methods and motivations are. We've got people involved in Skull and Bones who know fully what the methods and motivations are, including Bush crime family members. That was part of their birthright as well as the presidency. And then you've got the ancient families, the ancient bloodlines pulling the strings at the top, because these guys have got wealth we don't hear about, trillions invested in the military-industrial complex, big pharma, big oil, etc. All right, let's go over to the role of Bush and his weird behavior around the time of the JFK assassination, because if you're the head of the CIA, you're privy to a lot of things. And if the CIA building is named after you still to this day, that just shows the power of the Bush crime family in the deep state to this day. And we know they hate Trump because the ass grabber himself said he was voting for Hillary Clinton. This was before he died. He was voting for Hillary Clinton when Trump was running against Hillary. And Trump was Republican. George H.W. Bush, ass grabber, Republican. Why on earth is he voting for a Democrat? Because they're all part of the same demonic cabal, worshipping the owl god. All right. This is from my book, American Made. Who killed Barry Seal? George H.W. Bush or Pablo Escobar. So, I start out with chapter 40. It's about the JFK assassination, saying that high-profile people in power require others to do their dirty work. How do we say Kimberly? Kimberly. When 9/11 is going down, I'm standing by to get Dick Cheney, one of the most evil people on the place of the earth, to get him to safety so he can sit back and make his billions off Halliburton. All right, so George H.W. Bush had at his disposal a stable of good old boys from the CIA, including Barry Seal. Bush was working for the CIA at least as early as 1961, but many researchers believe that he was recruited in his Yale days when he was in the Skull and Bones. We're going to have to get someone on to get more into the Skull and Bones. I've got Charlie Robinson on tomorrow at 6 p.m. The Bush family's relationship with the CIA went all the way back to its first director, Alan Dulles, a lawyer who helped facilitate the laundering of Nazi money with Prescott Bush. Put a one in the chat if you are aware that the Bush crime family wealth, some of it, comes from laundering money for Hitler and the Nazis. Put a one in the chat if you are aware of this. I've written a lot about that in my books. Even the mines, the Salesian mines that were using slave labor from Auschwitz money was getting laundered by the Bush family. This is how evil these people are. And then Prescott Bush later on used his military service to put that to rest, to outshine the conspiracy theorists who were unearthing the fortune they'd made from laundering money from the Nazis.
Yeah, absolutely sickening, isn't it? Sickening. Let me just see if I can get... trying to watch you guys on the live chat as well while I'm doing this. Let me just re-pull it up. I lost it there a second. All right. So, Alan Dulles was the CIA director fired by JFK. Bush crime family and Alan Dulles like this. JFK says he's going to smash the CIA up. And guess who LBJ, who stood most to benefit? Just like Kamala stood a lot to benefit. You've got the deep state showing its hand in a matter of weeks. Trump assassination attempt fails. Joe Biden is handed a resignation letter and told to sign or else. And Kamala is now holier than thou. The media are portraying her as a saint, not this wicked prosecutor who put all these people in prison for weed charges. She's now the one who's going to give Donald Trump the run for his money. It all just goes round and round in one big incestuous loop. So Alan Dulles was the CIA director fired by JFK, and then LBJ puts Alan Dulles in charge of the Warren Commission investigating JFK's assassination. JFK is going to smash the CIA into a million pieces. And now you've got CIA director investigating the JFK assassination is in charge of the Warren Commission. Alan Dulles' brother, John Foster Dulles, was Prescott Bush's lawyer during the Nazi days. This is why, folks, CIA headquarters is still named after George H.W. Bush. The Bushes might not be in the media so much, but, well, you've got George Jr. doing his artwork now. He's just a retired dad, a simple man doing his artwork. Pew, disappeared. No, these crime families are pulling strings still, just like Obama and Hillary are pulling the Biden strings. The Bush crime family does not want Trump in power. And that is part of what's going on. They had some kind of information, I reckon, privy to some decision making with what we've just seen in the news. All right. So throughout the Eisenhower presidency from 1953 to 61, Prescott was a confidential ally of the Dulles brothers. They concocted schemes to overthrow foreign governments by any means possible in order to further their business interests, which included the United Fruit Company. And Whitney Webb goes over this stuff in fine detail. And I have messaged her on Twitter to try and get her back on. What I like is how we could put the context of what just happened in Trump into the history of intelligence agencies and their incestuous relationships with these political dynasty crime families. Because it goes way back. So when people say, aren't these guys dead? No, they're still powerful. In 1954, they toppled the democratically elected president of Guatemala because democracy is only relevant when it serves their purpose. They pretend to be bastions of democracy, but it only comes into play when it serves their evil agenda.
The democratically elected president had come to power by offering land reform. And then under the guise of fighting communism, the CIA removed the president and installed a ruthless dictator. Now, one of the most ruthless characters ever that worked with the CIA is Klaus Barbie, the Butcher of Lyon, certified Nazi, killed over 10,000. And he ended up running intelligence in South America for the Argentinians and other South American countries. I came across him researching Pablo Escobar because Pablo Escobar, when he was doing the transportation, the smuggling himself early on through the jungles of South America, he'd come on villages where there were Nazis marching and chanting and singing to Hitler. And he was wondering what the hell was going on. These Nazis were brought out through the rat line, which was set up by the Vatican. The Vatican was part of it, paid off. And they ended up being employed by the CIA. The CIA's attitude was, we got to get them before the communists get them. We got to traffic the drugs in South America before the communists get that drug money. And then the domino theory is that these commie countries, bam, 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 it'll go down. Peru, Bolivia, Colombia. Next thing, it's Mexico and it's on our doorstep. That was their attitude. So the CIA joined forces with the Nazis to defeat communism. And the CIA, to this day, that relationship continues with the cartel. The cartel, they send their troops to America to be trained to fight the war on drugs. They get the latest American weapons from the military-industrial complex. They pretend to be part of the American military, the Mexican military, and Mexican police. And then when they go back down south, they take those weapons straight to the cartel. The governors of these states in Mexico are flying around in the latest helicopters with their girlfriends and mistresses showing off. That's how history repeats and rhymes to this day. The CIA tried to oust Fidel Castro in numerous ways. I'll do a night on that if you want, because I've done a whole chapter on that in my book, America Made, all the different ways the CIA tried to take out Castro. One of the methods was they used George H.W. Bush's company, Zapata, whose Scorpion platform, 50 miles away from Cuba, provided an ideal training post for anti-Castro Cubans. According to the book Prelude to Terror by Joseph Trento, Bush was given a list of names of Cuban oil workers that the CIA wanted placed in jobs. CIA money and payments were filtered through Zapata, according to John Sherwood, ex-chief of CIA anti-Castro operations. Quote, we had to pay off politicians in Mexico, Guatemala, Costa Rica, and elsewhere. Bush's company was used as a conduit for these funds under the guise of oil business contracts. Bush was a major organizer and recruiter for the Bay of Pigs invasion, codenamed Operation Zapata. Colonel Fletcher Prouty, former Pentagon high-ranking official, it was the basis for the Colonel X character in Oliver Stone's JFK, obtained two Navy ships for the operation that were repainted to non-Navy colors and renamed Houston and Barbara. Good old Barbara Bush, another high priestess in the deep state. Zapata's worldwide oil rigs enabled Bush to vanish for weeks at a time on CIA business. Anyone getting in the way of the Bush clique tended to end up dead. Yeah, Trump's just learned that one the hard way. Prime targets were foreign leaders and even domestic ones such as JFK. Now, we're going to get into Bush's weird behavior around the time of the JFK assassination. A few hours after the assassination, when I say Bush, I'm going to refer to senior HW. Bush called the Houston FBI field office, identified himself, and claimed that his location was Tyler, Texas.
he reported that James Milton Parrott, a young Republican, had talked about killing JFK. An FBI memo declassified in 1993 stated, Mr. George H.W. Bush, president of Zapata Offshore Drilling Company, Houston, Texas, residence 5525 Briar, Houston, telephonically furnished the following information to writer by long-distance telephone call from Tyler, Texas. Bush stated that he wanted to be kept confidential, but wanted to furnish hearsay that he recalled hearing in recent weeks. The day and source unknown. He stated that one James Parrott has been talking of killing the president when he comes to Houston. Bush said that Parrott is possibly a student at University of Houston and is active in political matters in this area. He said he felt Mrs. Fawley's telephone number, or Earline Smith's telephone number, of the Harris County Republican Party headquarters, would be able to furnish additional information regarding the identity of Parrott. He said he was proceeding to Dallas, Texas, would remain in the Sheraton Dallas Hotel and return to his residence on 11-23-63. And his office telephone number was Following up on the lead, FBI agents went to the house of Parrott. Again, MK Ultra, lone wolf, bloody false lead. Parrott was an unemployed 24-year-old Air Force veteran who'd been honorably discharged. His mother said he wasn't home and provided an alibi. She advised that Parrott had been home all day helping her care for her son, Gary Wayne, whom they brought home from the hospital yesterday. She said after 1 p.m., a Mr. Reynolds came to by their home to advise them of the death of President Kennedy and talk to her son, James, about painting some signs at Republican headquarters on Wow Drive. Upon further questioning, both Reynolds and Parrott claimed that Reynolds had visited between 1:30 and 1:45, but decades later, in 2007, Reynolds told an interviewer that he had not gone to Parrott's house that day. He said he'd been asked to accompany Parrott to the local Secret Service office. See any parallels, folks? The encounter was documented as follows. It doesn't matter whose face we see. It doesn't matter who comes or goes. The same dynasty families, the same bloodline families, the same ancient families and banking families run the same three-letter agencies. They all spiral back. So that encounter was documented as follows. There was a young man who came around headquarters, and somebody said that he'd made a threat against Kennedy. And this was, I believe, this came up after the assassination. The end result was, as it was suggested, I contact the Secret Service, the local Secret Service, and I accompanied this young man. And we went down, and this was kind of a strange kid, mild-mannered, quiet, kind of, seemed to be living in another world. And I took him down one day, escorted him down there. As I was reading that, was you seeing the face of Crooks? Strange kid, mild-mannered, quiet, kind of. Do you see how the profile of these patsies, these kids, these wind-up merchants, the parallels? So Reynolds told him he had not gone to Parrott's house that day. He'd been asked to accompany Parrott to the local Secret Service office. When the FBI showed up to question him, Parrott was painting Bush for Senate signs. Parrott admitted picketing members of JFK's administration. He denied threatening the president. As a member of the right-wing John Birch Society, he had opposed Bush during Bush's campaign for GOP chairman of Harris County. The FBI decided that Parent hadn't been involved in a conspiracy to kill JFK, but no one knew why Bush had sent them on a wild goose chase. Has anyone any idea why Bush was muddying the waters in this fashion? Isn't that extremely suspicious? Bush's call to the FBI placed him in Tyler, Texas, approximately 100 miles away from the JFK assassination crime scene in Dallas. One theory is that Bush had dropped Parrott's name to the FBI as payback. Another theory is that Bush was joining in the hunt for the killer to camouflage his own role in the conspiracy. To camouflage their activities, killers sometimes join in the search party for their own victims or other false suspects. Bush may have been attempting a more sophisticated form of that strategy. So you've got the FBI now. They've acknowledged it was a bullet that went and hit Trump's ear. They've acknowledged they're continuing their investigation. The SS are doing their thing. These are examples. When these three-letter agencies announced this stuff this week, these are examples of participants in assassination joining in the search party for their own victims or near victims. Trump was a near victim. That is the lesson we learn from history from these stories. One of them. 2 decades later, during Bush's 1988 presidential campaign, Parrott emerged as a volunteer for Bush, lending weight to the theory that Parrott was acting as a fall guy, enabling Bush to establish his Tyler, Texas location. Now, that is as crazy as Crooks being in a BlackRock commercial. So what were Bush's actual movements around the time of the JFK assassination? Bush had booked 2 nights at the Dallas Sheraton, November 21st and 22nd. He and his wife spent November 21st in Dallas and took a private plane to Tyler, where Bush was scheduled to speak at a Kiwanis Club luncheon. Just have a quick sip. Aubrey Irby, vice president of the Kiwanis Club and later president of Kiwanis International during Bush's vice presidency, told author Kitty Kelly her version of the events on November 22nd. In The Family, The Real Story of the Bush Dynasty, Kitty Kelly wrote that Bush had started to deliver a speech to 100 men gathered at Tyler's Blackstone Hotel. The head bellhop tapped Aubrey on the shoulder and said that JFK had been shot. Aubrey told the club president, who then leaned over and told Bush. After halting his speech, Bush said, "In view of the president's death, I consider it inappropriate to continue with a political speech at this time. Thank you very much for your attention." He sat down and his behavior was considered magnanimous. Recounting the tale in 2007, Aubrey described Bush as having been matter of fact and supremely well composed. Well, he is, isn't he? He's like an automaton component of the deep state machinery. In her 1994 memoir, Barbara Bush published a letter that she had purportedly written on the day of JFK's assassination. "Dearest family, Wednesday I took Doris Ulmer out for lunch. They," as in Alan Doris Ulmer, "were here from England, and they had been so nice to George in Greece. That night we went to ... I am writing this at the beauty parlor, and the radio says that the president has been shot. Oh, Texas, my God. Let's hope it's not true. I am sick at heart, as we all are. Yes, the story is true, and the governor also. How hateful some people are. these crime family high priestesses, like Hillary Clinton, are the type of people like Griselda Blanca who would have you assassinated and show up at your funeral with flowers, with the most resplendent, biggest bouquet of flowers, and cry the loudest. That's how evil these people are. So Barbara Bush was so sick at heart. The whole Bushes were all sick at heart that JFK had been taken out so the military-industrial complex that sponsors them could further their agenda. The story is true, and the governor also, how hateful some people are. Since the beauty parlor, the president has died. We are once again on a plane, this time a commercial plane. Poppy, which was her nickname for Bush Sr., picked me up at the beauty parlor. We went right to the airport, flew to Fort Worth and dropped Mr. Zeppo off. We were on the plane, his plane, and flew back to Dallas. We had to circle the field while the second presidential plane took off. Immediately, Poppy got tickets back to Houston, and here we are all flying home. We are sick at heart. The tales the radio reporters tell of Jackie Kennedy are the bravest I've ever heard. The rumors are flying about that horrid assassin, the horrid assassin that the royal machinery had put into play. We are hoping that it is not some far-right nut, but a commie nut, planting the seeds of the lone wolf nut. You understand that we know they are both nuts, but just hope that it is not a Texan and not an American at all. I am amazed at the rapid fire thinking and planning that has already been done. LBJ has been the president for some time now, 2 hours at least, and this is only 4:30. My dearest love to you all, Barr. Yeah. Well, Barr was sure praying. George H.W. Bush was sure praying, but on a different occasion, and that was after Reagan got shot. They were praying that the bullet that stopped an inch from his heart would finish the job. The injuries would finish the job. And Poppy would no longer be vice president, and he would be the president. According to Russ Baker, who wrote Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government, and The Hidden History of the Last 50 Years, the first and only Bush family acknowledgement of where Bush was on that day, JFK, came in a classic form from the wife in the most innocuous swathing. That it didn't surface until 1994 is also peculiar. To whom the letter was mailed is unknown, or whether an original exists, or how it was unearthed 30 years after JFK's assassination. She wrote, "Dear family," but all of her children were 10 years old or younger, and why would she mail them a letter if she were flying home and probably would have been home before the letter arrived? Was she sending it to her parents? Unlikely, because her mother was dead. Her father had remarried, but Barbara Bush wasn't known to be particularly close to them. She hadn't even attended her mother's funeral. Although the letter has details, it didn't document Bush's call to the FBI about the potential assassin, Parrott. The letter did achieve one thing. It recorded that they were in Tyler, Texas during the assassination. And then Roger Stone believed that Bush was in Dallas on the evening of November the 21st, attending an Oil Contractors Association meeting. JFK was going to increase taxes on big oil. That's as bad as trying to pull the war in Ukraine. Don't mess with these good old Texas oil boys, because they are deep in the CIA. In 1976, Bush, when he was now the director of the CIA, received a letter asking for help, which casts even more suspicion on Bush and his knowledge of the JFK assassination. Quote,
"You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Maybe you will be able to bring a solution into the hopeless situation I find myself in. My wife and I find ourselves surrounded by some vigilantes. Our phone bugged, and we are being followed everywhere. Either FBI is involved in this, or they do not want to accept my complaints. We are driven to insanity by this situation. Tried to write stupidly and unsuccessfully about Lee Harvey Oswald, and must have angered a lot of people. Could you do something to remove this net around us? This will be my last request for help, and I will not annoy you anymore. That letter came from G.D. Morenschild. I'm just going to call him GM for short. The staff at the CIA asked Bush if he knew GM. Bush responded in a memo to the staff, "I do know this man, GM. I first met him in the early 40s. He was an uncle to my Andover roommate. Later, he surfaced in Dallas, 50s maybe. Then he surfaced when Oswald shot to prominence. He knew Oswald before the assassination of President Kennedy. I don't recall his role in all of this." But by not recalling his role, Bush was downplaying his relationship with GM, who came from Russian nobility. Like I said, it's the bloodline families. His family had made a fortune from oil. So you've got a bloodline family, big oil. Working for the Tsar, his father had been the governor of Minsk. His uncle and father had run the Swedish Noble Brothers Oil Company in Baku, Russia, Azerbaijan, on the southwest coast of the Caspian Sea, where during World War I, Prescott Bush and his associates had provided the technology for the oil that enabled the Soviets to attack Poland from the east. Back then, Baku hosted half of the world's known oil reserves, and major players such as the Rockefellers were trying to get in on the action. There you go. Dynasty family, Rockefellers. Oil, military action, wars, names change. It's all the same entities and agencies. Born in 1911, GM had moved to the US and worked for Humble Oil, a company co-founded by Prescott Bush. By 52, he was living in Dallas and a member of the Dallas Petroleum Club. He attended the Dallas Council on World Affairs, and which Bush's friend Neil Mallon started in 51. He helped expand American oil interests in Cuba and other locations of interest to the CIA. He had a knack for taking business trips to locations where a political event or upheaval significant to the CIA was imminent. In 1961, as exiled Cubans and the CIA support team prepared for the Bay of Pigs invasion in Guatemala, GM and his wife passed through Guatemala City on a month-long walking tour of the Central American Isthmus. Another time, they appeared in Mexico just as a Soviet leader arrived on oil business and they happened to have a meeting. Another time, they were in Haiti shortly before an unsuccessful coup was launched against the president. According to the author Edward Epstein in 1961, The Dallas CIA told GM that Lee Harvey Oswald was living in Minsk in Russia. He was asked to get info about Oswald, and in return, the CIA would help him with an oil deal in Haiti. In the summer of 1962, when Oswald was back in Texas, GM started to become close to Oswald and became his mentor. He helped Oswald find jobs and apartments, took him to meetings and social gatherings, and assisted him and his Russian wife, Marina, and their baby in various other ways. He provided information to the CIA about Oswald, and in March 63, his Haitian oil deal went through. What we need to know is who was the handler for Crooks. What relationships did Crooks have with his doctors? What relationships did Crooks' parents have with MK Ultra? What we need to see. This is what I'm taking away from this. In 64, GM and his wife testified to the Warren Commission, which spent more time with them than any other witnesses except for Oswald's widow. The Warren Commission helped portray GM as an eccentric while steering him away from naming his powerful friends and associates. One relationship he never disclosed to the Warren Commission was his relationship with the Bush crime family. The Warren Commission concluded GM's relationships were all coincidences and had nothing to do with the assassination. Just like all of the lapses, all of the security misjudgments were all just coincidences, bad timing, everything that went wrong on the day of the Trump attempted assassination. We're just going to explain it all away as the foibles of human nature. Bush replied to GM, "Let me say that I know it must have been difficult for you to seek my help in the situation outlined in your letter. I believe and I can appreciate your state of mind in view of your daughter's tragic death a few years ago and the current poor state of your wife's health. I was extremely sorry to hear these circumstances. In your situation, I can well imagine how the attentions you described in your letter affect both you and your wife. However, my staff has been unable to find any indication of interest in your activities on part of the federal authorities in recent years. The flurry of interest that attended your testimony before the Warren Commission has long subsided. I can only speculate that you may have become newsworthy again in view of the renewed interest in the Kennedy assassination, and thus maybe attracting the attention of people in the media. I hope this letter has been of some comfort to you, GM, though I realize I am unable to answer your question completely." March 29, 77, months after that response, GM visited his daughter at a family's friend's house in Florida. He was interviewed by the author Epstein for a feature story. House Select Committee on Assassinations investigator Gaetan Fonzi showed up at Manaplan while George was out doing the interview. Fonzi was an investigative reporter from Philadelphia hired by the HSCA. He left his business card with GM's daughter. When GM arrived home for lunch, his daughter told him in Spanish that Fonzi had visited and to not tell the maid and gardener. She gave him the card and went shopping later that afternoon. Can you guess what happened? GM's corpse was found in his upstairs bedroom with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. No one heard the gun go off. There was no suicide note. The next day, he was supposed to have testified before the House Select Committee on Assassinations. After his death was ruled a suicide, he was cremated within a week. Get rid of the evidence. Get rid of the corpse. Among his personal belongings, in an address book, was an old listing for George H.W. Bush. Just like the death of Barry Seal, who died in possession of Bush's contact details, GM died in possession of George Bush's contact details. And we're supposed to believe that Bush Jr. is just a doddering old grandfather now who sits at home doing paintings and has no role in the maneuvers of the deep state, just like we're supposed to believe that Hillary Clinton did not cause any of the hashtag Clinton body count. That Hillary Clinton, when she hired private investigators to track down the women, that Bill, high on the white powder, coked up to the max, on the rampage, causing these lawsuits from these women, who he was meeting in hotel rooms, telling them he would take them on, he would give them jobs, and then ends up in lawsuits with NDAs. That Hillary Clinton had nothing to do with these women's being tracked down, their home addresses being tracked down, their pets being murdered, and their friends being thrown off balconies. All just coincidence. Just like the Bush contact details were found in GM's personal belongings. Another JFK assassination connection with George H.W. Bush is John Crichton, former intelligence operative and later an oil company investor. He became friends with Bush in 64. According to Fabian Escalante, former chief of Cuban counterintelligence turned author, Nixon had purred Bush and Crichton to raise funds for Operation Fortrey, Bay of Pigs CIA assassination squad. Crichton rubbed shoulders with the elites of Texas and had worked during his military days with many of the Dallas police. His directorships included Dorchester Gas Producing Company, whose other director, Bird, owned the Texas School Book Depository building that Oswald had just coincidentally started to work at 2 weeks before JFK drove by. Crichton was involved with JFK's Texas travel arrangements. The driver of the pilot car in Kennedy's motorcade was Deputy Police Chief George Lumpkin, who'd worked under Crichton in the Dallas Army Intelligence Unit. Crichton provided the interpreter for Oswald's wife, Marina. According to author Russ Baker in Family of Secrets, Marina's words were mistranslated to implicate Oswald. The Warren Commission never asked Crichton to testify. In 2007, Crichton died. The George Bush Presidential Library holds his papers, which are all sealed. Where is the Trump Assassination Investigation Committee? Why are they not getting Crook's parents in front of said committee? It would just be whitewashed and manipulated and all put down to coincidence anyway. Why even bother? Not only was he evasive when asked about his relationships with people such as GM, but when Bush was president, he claimed that he had never asked for any CIA files on the JFK assassination. Under the Freedom of Information Act, it was revealed he had submitted numerous requests for such files when he was CIA director, as if trying to gather a range of information on the JFK assassination. On September 1976, he asked whether Lyndon Johnson had been told by a former CIA director that Cubans were involved in the assassination. On September 15th, 1976, Bush asked his deputy directors looking to report that linked Jack Ruby with mafia boss Santos Traficante. Bush wrote, a recent Jack Anderson story referred to a CIA cable, the subject matter of which had some UK journalists observing Jack Ruby visiting Traficante in jail in Cuba. Is there such a cable? If so, I would like to see it. Like I said earlier, Bush was close to former CIA head Alan Dulles, but a grudge against JFK, as well as being tight with the Texas elite, heavily invested in oils and weapons manufacturing, with close ties to intelligence operations that had used assassination teams in attempts to overthrow foreign governments. And these are the same teams being used to this day that they just used on Trump. Just different faces. Bush was in Dallas on November 21st and maybe even on the morning of November 22nd, yet since then he has claimed that he can't remember where he was on those dates. He created a record of being in Tyler, Texas by sending the FBI on a wild goose chase after Parrot, and through his wife's letter that materialized decades later. Lastly, JFK's attitude to war and the CIA stood in the way of the pattern of profiteering dating back to Prescott, Bush, and the Nazis that multiplied the wealth of the Bush dynasty and for which they continue to profit from this day. To this day. Trump saying, let's end the war in Ukraine, would impact the profits that these political crime families and dynasties are making to this day. And that was probably one of his biggest vocal mistakes. He's campaigning on that, but if he'd kept it secret and got in and then maneuvered from that point, because right now they've brought Kamala in, the media are going to portray her as this saintly figure versus the modern day Hitler. And even though Trump's popularity has jumped, just like Reagan's popularity jumped with modern technology, the months it's going to take to the elections is a hell of a long time whereby anything can happen. And just like AJ has said, they're going to come at him again with assassination attempts. Probably not a gunman. AJ's predicting food poisonings, bombings. They have, if you look at their attempts on Castro, they have a very creative repertoire up their sleeve. Maybe they'll you know, look at the Russians do it. Exposure to nuclear materials. You've got the fast-acting cancers. So, yeah, Bush had, at the very least, insider knowledge of the JFK assassination, or at the most, was a co-conspirator. Anyone who'd go so far as to conspire to kill a president could easily order the assassination of Barry Seal, which is the whole premise for my book, America Made. And I can't wait to get Whitney Webb on. I hope she says yes, because she really goes over the relationship of these crime families and how intelligence started from its inception with the Nazis fleeing from Germany to South America. And it's fascinating. And she puts it all in the context of this day. All right, so we've got 2,000 watching. We've got over 1,000 on YouTube. Thanks for joining us, folks. I'm going to keep going with this stuff. Thank you for the super chat there from Baby Gerald. I strongly suggest offer John Armstrong's Harvey and Lee. The book is hard to find, but his website and interviews with Len Osanek from Black Op Radio. Yep. We are going to go deeper and deeper into this stuff night after night. This is our new formula now. I've reached out to David Icke. I've asked him if he would like to come on and talk live about this subject. I've interviewed David Icke 6 times. I keep in touch with him. Let's see what he says. I've only sent that email out today because the mainstream media might be dropping it. So am I saying Kamala's a stooge for the deep state? Yes. You've got Joe Biden, who was just doing anything the deep state ordained, and they were going to run in for another 4 years because Trump was going to get taken out, Biden was going to drop in. That was the plan. They've had to hand Biden his resignation letter and force him out because he's so pumped up on Big Pharma. What was, remember that stuff that Hitler was taking? Those drugs that kept him going, that making him lose his mind. Biden was so pumped up on that stuff with the shots in the ass that they were just going to run him up, keep running with him, because he would just get up and ramble on. They could do anything they wanted, you know, behind the scenes. Just like when George H.W. Bush stepped up and took all of the powers from Reagan after the bullet almost missed Reagan's heart by an inch. Just like the bullet almost missed Trump's skull by an inch. Can I speculate on advanced weapons like micro drones? The military technology they've got versus what we are told about 5 to 10 years ahead. So what they can do to people remotely, because do you remember what they were doing to the Cuban embassy remotely? Microwave radiation, other frequencies of radiation. They've got all kinds of ways of of exposing people to stuff that can mash their brains. Let's see. Oswald was at the Coke machine on the ground floor when the assassination. Lots of people saw him in the canteen. Yeah, and they would have filmed that these days, and we would have had clips of it. So now they've got a. It's the same players, but they've got to structure it differently because of technology. And we have no idea what technology they've got. The CIA is not going to investigate themselves, no. And Gary Webb, you know, he was investigating the CIA for the CIA drug trafficking, and he ended up getting two in the head. And my book, Clinton Bush, CIA Conspiracies, features his story, as it features the story of Linda Ives, whose son was taken out by the deep state when he stumbled upon the importation of the white powder in Arkansas that Barry Seal was bringing in. Yeah. All right, guys. So we're back at 6 p.m. tomorrow with Charlie Robinson. And Ron's going to be doing a live stream right after this as well. And yeah, Julian Assange, thanks for your service. WikiLeaks, yeah, I know. We've supported Julian over the years. I'm really behind Julian, definitely. Oh, thank you, Johnny, for your super chat there as well. So this one is going to shunt a lot of all y'all over to Ron's live stream. Do you want to jump in here, Ron, with anything?
Yeah, can I just say, everybody, thanks so much for the support on these streams. Like the last couple that Sean's done, they're smashing like 120K views, and that's all down to you guys sharing. We are in no way saying that YouTube is pushing this out. You're doing such a good job. Everyone that's on Twitter right now, 774 of you, and everyone that is on YouTube, I'm about to do a live stream after this covering some issues that have gone on with Moist Critical and talking about YouTube suppression and diving into Bohemia Grove. It's very much a beginner's look at Bohemia Grove. And we'll talk about a few other things. There's a Discord link that's been posted. If you want to come and join our Discord link during my live streams, you'll be able to join the VC and come and have your say during my lives. And I just want to say thank you again to everyone who is pushing these out and making these lives with Sean such a success. You guys are why we're turning up, because you're making it happen. So a big shout out to all of you and thank you.
Yeah, and talking about shadow banning, so I've got 250,000 followers on my main Facebook page, and we've got 5 people watching on Facebook. So we are
no, definitely. If you've got 800,000 subscribers and only 1,000 people turn up, that's because everyone hates you, mate. Not because of shadow banning. You know what I mean? That's it's madness that people think that we're talking nonsense. Do you see what I mean? Mathematically, it makes no sense. Statistically, it makes no sense. And algorithmically, it makes no sense. So trust me, you guys are the backbone of this and making sure that Sean's voice gets out there.
So I've sent emails to Whitney Webb and Ryan Dawson. I was just checking if anyone's responded. And Ryan Dawson has responded. So I said, look, I'm going to be running the Trump story again this week if you want to come back on. And Ryan has said, yes, I have clips we can now use.
Yes.
And he's got a lot to say about the FBI testimony.
Yes.
So we've got Ryan Dawson coming back on this week as well.
Love a Ryan Dawson rant. It's so good. He does the most calm and collected rants on the channel, I have to say.
And he's so well researched. And I'm probably going to bring him back on Wednesday. Yeah, so tons more. We're not going to drop this like the mainstream. We're going to keep it going. All right, thanks, folks. Enjoy Ron's live. And we'll see you with Charlie Robinson, 6 p.m. tomorrow. Adios.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.